The question today is, what is a blessed man? This is part three of this series. We've said there's a negative in Psalm 1 in which we don't need to hang around the wrong crowd. Blessed is the man who doesn't hang around the wrong crowd. And then we said also that blessed is the man who strives to keep the commandments of God. Even a lost man that has light and obeys that light, he spiritually prospers. He's divinely blessed. What the word blessed means, and of course blessed can be pronounced blessed as well. But also, we looked in Psalm 64, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou chooses and causes to approach unto thee. In other words, blessed is the man who responds to thine influence. Now, that looks like an unconditional promise, but it's a conditional promise. You must respond to divine influence. And we've said in part two that we said that divine influence operates on our ears and our eyes to help us to see and help us to hear what we need to see and hear. And that's only if God reveals it to us. Another thing about divine influence operate on is on our hearts. You see, that's to give us understanding. Now, even a lost person has got to have enough understanding that he might be saved. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In other words, the good ground is the only one in the parable of the sower that was saved, and they had some understanding. Understanding means to put it together, put some things together, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. So He's got to work on our eyes and work on our ears to give us something, and then work on our hearts and let that divine influence operate on our hearts to give us the understanding we need. Now, I can show you in Acts 16:14 where Paul went over to Macedonia, went out by the river where they were praying there, and he said, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And she wasn't a saved person at that time. The Lord had to open her heart. You can't open your heart and ask Jesus in. No matter what preachers tell you, God's got to open your heart through a work of Holy Ghost conviction. The knob's not on the inside. I understand there's got to be some willingness on your part. But folks, He makes you willing. And it's His work as He works on your ears and works on your eyes and works on your heart with divine influence. In fact, John 6:45, which is right after the verse, He said, no man can come except he be drawn. And here it says, unless he draw you. But here it says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The word learn means to understand. So every man who has some understanding cometh, which is a continuous action verb. It means along the path of the understanding coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the narrow gate, the straight gate, that he might be saved. Now all that influence, divine influence, causes us to approach. Therefore, we're spiritually prosperous. Blessed is the man. Now, what did he do to influence us? I'm talking about the divine influence. Well, he gave every man light. John 1:9 said, that was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He also, that truth, and by the way, that he gave the light, which is truth, and that truth comes in conscience and creation that God exists. The Bible said in Romans 1:19-20, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, God gave every man light. Now, not just the ones that's going to be saved. He gave every man light. Therefore, every man will have a responsibility. By the way, you don't go to hell for rejecting Jesus. You go to hell for rejecting light. Therefore, when a man in the Hottentot of Africa reaches the knowledge of accountability, what age that is, I know not, but when he reaches that, he rejects the light of conscience and the light of creation because that divine influence was upon him, and if he had responded to that, God would have worked everything in his life that he needed to bring him to himself that he might be saved. God also gave every man this influence, divine influence, not only gave every man light, but he gave every man grace. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I'll tell you, that's the goodness of God for Him to give grace to all men. And Romans 2:4, The Word of God said, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Folks, God's good to us all the time. He's in the divine influence, has given every man light, He's given every man grace, and He gave His Son as a propitiation capable of saving every man. I mean, some people want to say that it's not capable of saving every man, but it is. His propitiation, the Bible said in 1 John 2:2, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." It means His death on the cross of Calvary, which is really our sacrifice, our substitute, our mercy seat, and that was capable of saving every man. That's divine influence to every man. And not only that, He desires that all men be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, He said, "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, some people want to say that just means those that's chosen, those that's His. Well, I want to tell you, it also says in 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." You see, God never made hell for man. He made hell for the devil and his angels. But when man, he rejects the light and the grace that God has given him and His goodness that God has given him, then God has no choice but to send him to hell where the devil is going to be. And therefore, the Bible says He hath enlarged hell to take those in. Folks, I want to tell you, all are without excuse. For instance, I believe the Book of Life will be at the great white throne judgment to show all mankind there was a place reserved for them had they only responded to divine influence. Oh, what is a blessed man? One who responds to divine influence. And then I'll tell you something else. His influence is done. Not only gave us light, not only gave us grace, not only gave His Son as a propitiation for all men, not only desires all men to be saved, but He sent the Holy Ghost to do a completed work in all mankind, the world, if you please. It's called conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. The Bible says this when Jesus is getting ready to leave out. In the book of John, chapter number 14, He said this in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, "And I'll pray the Father." Now, He was with the disciples in the upper room, 11 of them at that time. And He said, "I'm going to ask the Father, and He'll give you another comforter." That's another of the same kind of comforter He was, "that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And that promise, of course, was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But then in chapter 16, verse number 7 through 11, He made this statement. He said, "Nevertheless," again, encouraging the disciples that He was going to leave, and He wasn't going to leave them comfortless. He said, "Nevertheless," verse 7 of John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So therefore, the Lord's influence, I'm talking about the influence of divine influence, He sent the Holy Ghost to do a completed work in all mankind who will respond to that influence. And so Jesus spoke of it, really, in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 3 through 6 is really the Beatitudes. We call them here attitudes that ought to be. But He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3, He says this in Matthew 5:3, he made this statement. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, getting to the place of being blessed is for the, and really it's talking to the lost here. This is dealing with lostness, because when the cover's jerked off, you realize you're destitute. That's what the poor in spirit means. You can't help yourself. You're totally incapable of helping yourself. So blessed are the poor in spirit. The cover's jerked off, and lostness becomes an inward reality, because the word poor means to be a beggar, powerless to accomplish an end, and destitute. And blessed is that man. Spiritually prosperous is that man, because he got to get there before you'll get any further. God's got to bring you to that place, and you've got to promise that theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. It's coming. And that's not just the church age. That's not to be a professor. It's to be saved. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 4, the second beatitude, said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." The word mourn means to grieve or lament with a passionate lamentation so great that it cannot be hid. And that's godly sorrow working repentance, as 2 Corinthians 7:10 said. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So therefore, whenever we're blessed is the man, and he spiritually prospers. If you've been there, if you've got destitute, you've gotten sorrowful, the sin of unbelief, that you've never been saved, you have to experience that before you'll ever be saved. And you've got a promise. You shall be comforted. Then Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, the third beatitude, said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You see, meek means to have a teachable spirit. And the Bible says in Psalm 25, 8, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way." That's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. You realize something? Meekness is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good and right even before you're saved. That's because of His work. And you do it without disputing or resisting. And that's what we call coming to the end of yourself. And that can't be done without divine influence of Holy Ghost conviction. And the Bible said, blessed is that man. Spiritually prosperous is that man. Because you have to experience that before you'll ever be saved. In other words, but you've got a promise, you shall inherit the earth. And then the fourth beatitude is verse number 6, said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hunger and thirst are words we understand in the physical, where they mean to have a strong desire or craving for food and water. But spiritually, it refers to having a strong desire or craving for righteousness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 said, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." The Bible also said in 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Did you know a person needs to do more than just seek? He must hunger and thirst after righteousness, and that can only be accomplished by responding to divine influence. And when you respond to divine influence, God will give you more light, and you'll have more to influence to respond to. And blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Spiritually prosperous is that man, because it's a promise, "Ye shall be filled." It refers to being saved because you responded to divine influence. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.